Welcome to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, Episode 9. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Beth Ann. Today we'll chat with Carrie Bass of Izzy and Ollie. It's an Etsy shop of adorable handmade play settings. Carrie lives by the motto, try it, see what happens.
Learn how Carrie relies on the support of the Etsy community and uses SEO tactics to get her shop noticed in a busy marketplace.
Let's get started.
You're listening to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, practical business advice for startup moms.
So today we're talking with Carrie Bass. She's a mother of three with one on the way. Congratulations, Carrie.
Thank you.
She's an artist, designer, and the owner of Izzy and Ollie, the online boutique filled with handmade items to dress your table and finish off the spaces in your home with pops of color and design that bring it all together. She has been featured in national magazines such as Parenting and the Party Dress magazine, and is currently working on increasing her presence in brick and mortar shops around the country. Thanks so much for joining us on our show, Carrie.
Thank you so much for having me. This is exciting.
So, Carrie, tell us about yourself, your family, and your business.
Well, I'm the youngest of three, and my mother is an extremely accomplished seamstress. So from a very young age, I was watching her create things from nothing, and it really inspired me. Being the youngest, there were a big gap between my sister and my brother, and so there was a lot of time I spent alone when I was really young, and I just would get lost in a creative world, whether it was imagination or eventually starting to make my own Barbie clothes from my mom's scraps and leftovers. And the interest really built there in coming up with new ideas and creating things from nothing. And so it was something that was a part of me from a very, very young age. Once I got to high school and was given the opportunity to start studying art in a more formal way, I fell in love with ceramics and sculpture and started down that path for many years, actually getting my undergraduate degree in sculpture and ceramics at the University of New Hampshire. And I always thought that's what I would do. I would teach art in one capacity or another. And after school, things happen, make a few twists and turns. And I actually ended up in the corporate world for years, actually. But I had the ability to be creative and how to use applications online, having to expand myself in, you know, not from a three-dimensional form, but how could I be creative in this corporate America I was in. When I met my husband and we got married, it was challenging for us to have children for a long time, actually. The one on the way is a big surprise. Who knew that things would get better years later? But he looked at me and said, let's take this opportunity. We're doing fine. I think actually you should stop working and be at home. And that was shocking to me because I always thought I would work, you know, have a 9-to-5 forever. And it was a great opportunity for me because I was able to break away from that corporate box I was in. And I started my ceramic studio at home. And from there, actually, then I started moving into fiber arts and learning how to quilt and making things for people. I had all this extra time. It was like, okay, I'll make you a quilt. You're getting married. Oh, you're having a baby. Let me see what I can put together there. And that was where my love of fiber and learning how to put patterns together and work with colors. And, you know, now here I am building this business that a friend of mine who was a major Etsy buyer really talked me into. She received my gifts so many times and she was like, you have to sell these things. I thought, really? You know, it wasn't where I was coming from. I was really coming from the basis of a handmade holiday and starting there and creating things as gifts. And she said, no, I know a lot of people that would love to give your items as gifts to others. And that was how it started about 3.5 years ago.
So, Carrie, I'm just amazed at all of the different artistic talents that you have. I didn't realize you know ceramics, and you're obviously a very talented at sewing as well. So I think it's really neat the way you settled on your niche within Etsy of just, you know, having friends tell you how great those products were. In terms of that, with having three children and one on the way, when do you have the time to get your work done? And what does a typical day look like for you?
Well, my kids go to a private school that's not in my area. And it's a wonderful place. And we made this commitment a long time ago, but we have to do a lot of the driving. And so my husband and I have split that up, which is great. So the day kind of starts with getting them ready, getting them out the door. And I get a break for about 3.5 hours that I can really focus, which is great, before I then have to just juggle one, my youngest, who's 5, and just finishing up preschool. And so what I'll do with those 3.5 hours is complete as many orders as I can get done to start and prep whatever needs to get prepped. So if it's fabric or, you know, it just what I can do later in the day, cutting and getting everything ready so that when she gets home, we work together. She feels like she's a major part of my business. And she will pick a spot in my office and work here with me, whether it's on drawings that she's planning to sell to someone, or just, you know, whatever her imagination is taking her to that day. But my kids have really given me the ability to focus until about an hour before dinner's coming. So I get a pretty good block of the day because they are very independent now. My oldest is 11 and my next is 9. And so when they get home at about 3:30, you know, they have some activities and things they do. And then, you know, we get dinner ready. But I do try to keep my day to that 9 to 4-ish or 8 to 4-ish time frame so that I can balance time with family and time with business and just try to be as prepared as possible with my orders to get those completed and out the best I can. And typically the end of the day is my daughter, my little one, and I walking to the post office to ship everything. She's my my assistant for a lot of things. And that when I'm doing photos or I'm doing a whole bunch of new work, I will block out time to do that. And typically those kinds of things will take place on the weekends, so I don't have to get interrupted in any way. And I will work for hours at that point, whether it's taking blocks of new photos in my dining room. And I try to do it all by myself, but everyone seems to jump in on it. My oldest likes to take photos, and actually I have some in my listings, some of the photos he's taken, because he's done a really great job. And my two girls love to model for me. So they're always involved in one way or another, but they really respect that mom has this business and she, you know, will balance what we need with the time that I need to get my work done. So it's crazy that it works, but it's working. Knock on wood. I don't know what's going to happen when the new one gets here. We'll see.
That's really neat that they like to be involved and help you and are instrumental in your business. Definitely. What's the one accomplishment in your business that you're the most proud of?
Well, when I was first thinking about this, it was funny because to me, actually, the first thing that popped into my head was truly taking money from strangers. You know, it's like you sort of think about that and go, oh, wow, I'm sort of challenged by this. When I was making work in ceramics, in clay, anybody that ever came near me and said they liked something of mine, I was like, here you go. Thank you. You know, the thought didn't cross my mind to say, oh, okay, you could give me money for that if you really want it. I was just so excited somebody liked my work. So in the beginning, I felt like my biggest accomplishments were really just putting myself out there and then letting someone give me their money for it and then getting it to them. It was really, you know, huge for me, actually. It was definitely a milestone getting used to it. And now I'm much more used to it and like it, quite frankly. I would say the silver lining to this whole thing for me, and just looping back with my kids because they are such a big part of this for me, is what I have watched them take from this experience. My two girls want to start their own shops, and they have names, and they, you know, are coming up with product lines, and they're thinking about things from the business aspect, not even just from the product aspect. And that's all from the modeling they're watching me do. And I feel like that is such a huge accomplishment that I didn't even ever expect. You know, it just sort of happened. It's the frosting, it's the decorations on the frosting of the cake, you know, it's the really good stuff that you can't wait to get. that they're just coming up with ideas and being a part of things, and hopefully what they're learning on top of it all is that they can do whatever they want. They have the opportunities out there that whatever they want to be, whatever they want to make, whatever they want to build in life, it's possible. Pretty cool to be a part of that for them.
Definitely. I love that. So as you kind of made that mindset shift into, you know, just being an artist to going towards the business side of things and realizing, oh, I can charge people for things. As you've learned more about the business side, is there maybe a brilliant business move that's just really helped you grow your business or reach a new audience?
Well, it's funny. If you're thinking about the platform of Etsy specifically, which is, you know, where I really started and stayed for the bulk of my time, it's getting involved in the community, joining teams, looking at what Etsy offers as a, you know, not for pay opportunity to market yourself. And, you know, there's no book out there that says this is how you do it. So you sort of have to look at this monumental task in front of you and figure out, okay, what things can I do? And finding a community to be a part of, which Etsy provides so easily with all these different types of teams, whether it's local connections or whether it's you just want to promote each other with treasury making or whether it's a business specific related team, getting involved and asking people questions changed everything for me. It truly did. I was getting some exposure, but once I started getting involved, and initially for me, it was treasury making teams, all of a sudden I'm finding myself on the front page and seeing things happen with sales in that regard and getting more customer questions. And honestly, I think that's what leads to, you know, people finding you is when you are out there more, and it's work. It's another part of the business that you have to figure out how to do, which is marketing yourself. And it's truly challenging because, again, there is no script. There is no right way to do it. A lot of it is what you stumble into, someone coming to you and saying, will you be a part of this layout? And it's like, oh, of course, you know, that's one of the things that I've always done is whatever I've been asked to do, whether it's a giveaway, a donation, what have you, I always say yes, because you don't know, you know, what could come of it. And I think that's led to a lot of interesting opportunities for me. But joining the teams and the community on Etsy, I've met people that I know I'll have friends for life, which is really interesting, you know, because you're thinking you're in this online world and you meet people that you connect with on just beyond what your product is on a real personal level. And that's been a gift in so many ways. You know, you trust their advice, you emotional support, even to the point where I've now gone ahead and I'm a captain of a team on Etsy, and which adds more work to the whole experience. But it's incredible to be able to then offer that advice to people and feel as if you're sort of a subject matter expert every once in a while, and people trust you and collaborating on things. And I really think, you know, speaking to the Etsy platform specifically, that changed my business straight away, just getting involved.
That's great advice for other businesses as well, just to connect with people in lots of different ways.
Yeah.
You mentioned that treasuries and you've been talking about Etsy where you mostly sell your products. Is there a particular way on Etsy that you think helps you get found the most? Is it searches or the treasuries? Anything that jumps out at you?
Gosh, I wish I had that magical answer because you could sell it to people. you know, with, I mean, we know this, when you have an online business, things change, and staying ahead of that is really difficult, because most of the time you're moving along and things are going well and you're selling things, and then all of a sudden it's like, why is it a ghost town? And is it my products? Is mm-hmm. it what's going on in the marketplace? Did Etsy make a change in the background, or did Google go ahead and change their search engine and how it works? So you kind of get those moments that happen, and you have to figure out, how can I make this better for my situation? And, you know, getting noticed on Etsy, I think the rhythm has to do with a couple of different things. It's one, you have to look at your product and think, okay, this person's not standing here in my shop holding it. So I have to take advantage of those five photos the best that I can. And I have to make that experience for an online person feel as if they're holding that my product, they understand the color in their space, and they want to have it because the picture looks so great. I really think getting noticed, photos are extremely important, because they will lead to other people favoriting your item, using it in a treasury. And if your pictures are not that great, it's not going to happen. And that's just the bottom line. Photos are huge. I think your listing descriptions are really important, but they're more important actually for the back end of things, for getting found. You know, you want to make sure you have your tags, and you want to make sure that things are clear, and you think about how other people are going to shop for your product. And doing that research online is really important. Typing in, you know, in my case, table runner. And what are other ways that people search for table runners? Is there another word that they use, or do they use it all as one word? Things like that you wouldn't necessarily think about. And tagging your work or putting those keywords in your description is important, and it helps to getting noticed. And then, you know, some of it is just hope, you know, it's just hope, but it goes back to that community and connections. And the more people that you talk with, the more things you get involved with. Last year, I went up to New York a couple of times, and actually went to one of the Etsy seminars. It was Hello Etsy in March. I'm not that far, only about 2 hours outside of the city. So it's not that big of a deal for me to do it. And I did it because I wanted to really connect with the community, see what they had to say, what they were presenting, and meet as many people as I could. And, you know, it's amazing that now I have these contacts that I can talk to if I need to, that are a part of the admin world, and just connect with them on crazy questions. And it's because I have said to myself, okay, I'm committed to making this business grow, and how do I have to do that? And I think it's a complete thing. You know, it's from everything from what you're presenting to who's in your community.
Great advice there. So I noticed you've been featured in some pretty big magazines, including Parenting.
That's true.
Great work there. How did you make that happen? Did you pitch to an editor, or did they find you? Walk us through the process of getting featured in a magazine.
I have to say, I was really, really lucky. They found me. It was a crazy Friday afternoon where I was actually just going to go sit and relax. And this email came through in Etsy Conversations, and it was one of the editors of Parenting. And she said, I'm interested in your work. I would like to get a few napkins. I need them by Monday. And I mean, it was fairly new for me in my business. I started my business in 2011, and this was in the beginning of 2012. And so I sent the message to my husband and said, do you think this is real? Because, you know,
that's true.
So I had to check this out, because you just never know. I mean, yeah. Honestly, I like I said before, I will do most things that people ask as far as donations and so forth. But this was a whole different ballgame. And so I did a little research. I do get Parenting magazine. So I looked, and there was her name on the inside of the cover. And I was like, oh my gosh, wrote back immediately and said, whatever you want, sure. And made it happen, got things to her on by Monday. And then from there, you just don't know what's going to happen. And when it comes to print ads like that, you know, it's in their hands from that point forward. You have to hope that your product works with what their layout is. And they weren't featuring me, so it wasn't about my napkins. My napkins were helping with their article that they were doing in relation to food. And so I was sort of like a prop, but my name was in there. You know, I was part of the byline there. So that was, the credits are there. Really what I found from the experience to be the most exciting thing that just, it's the gift that keeps on giving, is that it built credibility for me in a brand new business. And people saw that my work had been featured and they thought, huh, okay, she's trustworthy. And so the sales would come in that way. And it wasn't necessarily that I was selling out that product because someone saw it in Parenting Magazine. It's just when I was found, they thought, oh my gosh, she was in Parenting. It's okay. We can buy her work. And that, I think, then leads to other things coming to you. I have not pitched any editors at this point. I have to say I've been really lucky that I have been found as I have. And, but I know that's the next step I have to make, is putting a press kit together and going out there and, you know, saying please. Because once it happens, it's so exciting, and you want it to happen again. And a lot of times you have to make that happen. And I realize that now. I got very lucky with Parenting that they, because they had my work, I guess, in, I'm going to say like a prop room, I made it on the cover the year after that, and Parenting came and I was like, that's my napkin. I just went looking through and I wrote to the editor and I said, is that my napkin? She said, oh my gosh, you're right. So it was just one of those things that, you know, that gift kept on giving. That's for sure. that was pretty exciting, but, and unexpected.
That would be very exciting.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Have you had a low point in your business or a mistake you might have made? And how did you push past that?
I think what we all go through and what I feel the most is my low points. I can't say that I've made a mistake per se, that, you know, there's the occasional, you send something and it wasn't exactly what someone ordered, but you know, I work that out. I mean, that's happened very minor times. So from a mistake perspective, I really don't necessarily have any examples there, but low points come, and they come in the retail industry. I think for everyone that's selling their goods anywhere, whether it's online or in a store, and those low points come when business slows down, and it's nerve-wracking. It's hard, especially when you've gotten to a point where sales are coming in regularly. But when you're not, you know, consistently setting up recurring POs or things like that, and you can't bank on that income coming in, you have to just rely on everybody making purchases, and that livelihood is continuing. And when it slows down, whether it's for holidays and my products aren't really key to that holiday, or, you know, just like this past winter, I'm on the East Coast, and the winter was really rough for so many people. It was cold and there were many power outages and lots of extra heating expenses. I think that retail really took a hit for a good period of time in February into March, mm-hmm. because of those extra expenses that everybody was going through. So those low times, they definitely unravel me. And I've gotten to the point now where I will try and take the opportunity to build new things. If it's slow, look at, you know, all of my listings and think, is it time to tweak things? Is it time to change and make some new pictures? Taking the opportunity to, you know, not be constantly having to produce and figure out, okay, what's next? What are my next paths and goals ahead of me that I can work towards now in these slow times? But from a business perspective of what, you know, feels low. And unfortunately they come, it's not like it's just one time. It's like, oh, it's going to come again. You know, there's going to be that slowdown, but you know, then holiday will come and that makes everybody happy. So
Well, that was definitely great advice in terms of pushing forward, thinking about your next goals during those slow periods. So it's clear that from hearing about your business that it's such a family affair. And I love that. I love that your kids are involved. They're invested in this. So let's talk income for just a minute in terms of, you know, in what ways does your business help to support your family or contribute to family life?
Definitely. Well, as I had said before, you know, I never thought that I would not work. And so when I gave up that income, gosh, 12 years ago, at the time we only had, actually my son wasn't even born yet. I stopped working while I was pregnant because I was put on bed rest, and we just, it was like, it's time to end. And giving up that income was a really big deal. And never thinking, well, when would it come back? And does it need to be the same amount that I was making when I didn't have children? And so, you know, that's always been in the back of my head. And interestingly enough, when the business started and money started coming in, I thought, I'm contributing. This is great. And the first year was minor. It was definitely nice little buffer to our lives. You know, I didn't feel guilty spending for the extra little things. But now, the past 2 years, you know, I provide enough that I help pay for the kids' tuition to school, and the income that I make with Izzy and Ollie will help with vacations and our, you know, our yearly planning that we'll do with the kids going to camp, or you know, any extra things that come in during the month, whether it's birthdays and holidays, pretty much comes out of my income now. It's exciting because I'm adding to the family in a positive way and contributing so much more than I imagine that I could do from home, to be honest with you. You know, I see it. I see it all over the place, all over Etsy, people making incredible incomes. And I hope that it continues to grow the way that it has. Last year was really interesting because at the end of the year, I went to the Chicago one-of-a-kind handmade gift show as a part of the Etsy Pavilion. And that was the first time I've ever done that kind of a size show. And it was really exciting. And the income was incredible. I had almost made a third of what I make in a year in 4 days. So I am trying this year to really look at more wholesale accounts and moving into that line for myself and seeing how I can expand that way. And even if that includes having to take on possibly an employee. But I have to say that now that there's a new person coming into our family, that's kind of changed that motivation a little bit. And I'm not looking necessarily at trying to increase the income from where I've been last year, an additional 25%, like I had initially hoped. So, you know, I feel like I'm a little bit in limbo this year and sort of taking it as it comes instead of trying to push ahead, only because I'm 6 months pregnant now. I'm having this baby in September. I don't have a choice. You know, I can only do so much is what it's coming down to, it seems like.
That's encouraging to hear how your business is helping to support your family, but I totally understand how a new baby would change your focus a little bit.
Yeah, I just see that I'm going to have to do things a little bit differently, especially in the beginning, and just see how it goes. You know, it wasn't expected, so we're sort of all going with the flow at the moment.
Good plan.
Yeah.
What's your favorite online tool or app that helps your business either to grow or to reach a new audience or helps you to stay organized and productive?
Well, so, I mean, obviously what I'm in the most, and these are going to sound really simple, but obviously is Etsy and getting inside Etsy as far as looking all the statistics that it provides and really trying to delve into that information in a way that I can pull apart my shop and think, how can I change this to make this better? So, you know, that obviously I'm in there all the time looking at that. But as far as for my business goes, that I don't use a ton of applications other than things to help with my photos and so forth, like Photoshop. I will edit and adjust lighting and do things that way in Photoshop. And also I'm, my goal for this year, but now it's being moved to next year, is I will be starting my own fabric designs. And so that's critical for me to be able to execute it and, you know, create those designs online. And then this is the silliest thing I think I can add to this for me is that, honestly, the web is what I use the most as far as a tool goes, or an application. I am constantly searching for product information, for fabrics. I do a lot of my fabric searching online. And some of that is just because I have small people and it's not fun to drag them into a fabric store while I'm searching for things.
No, it's not.
It definitely takes away from what I'm trying to accomplish. So I use the web constantly for searching for, you know, if I want to look at competitors' information and see, oh, what's being sold, or seeing how my SEO is doing. And so it's simple, you know, it's a simple application. Everybody's got the web practically, but it truly is what I use the most. I've looked at things like different tools to help me manage my inventory and things like that. And because my amount of product is not at the point where the volume is so high, I don't need tools like that yet.
Carrie, how, and I feel like you've touched on this a little bit, but if you have anything else to add in terms of how you personally define success for you, for your business, for your life, just what does success look like for you?
Well, it's interesting. It's really changed for me over the years. You know, at first when my husband said, okay, well, you're going to do this and this is great, and I'm 100% behind you. What will success look like for you? And my immediate answer was getting a sale, getting one sale. And it happened my first day.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, uh-oh. Now what does success look like? At that point, my goal was getting 10 sales in a month. And, you know, it was, if I can do that, this is going to feel like completely worth it. And then it became a monthly value. You know, I want to reach $1,000 a month. I want to reach $1,500 a month. Like, constantly looking at how that success in sales was changing my life and my business. And I think what happens now for me is putting those little goals in front of me and figuring out what they are is where I measure my success. And I don't think that at this moment in time, there's this one thing that I can say, oh, that's going to be true success for me. It really is evolving and growing as my business grows, you know, getting published. I had that thought and then it happened. Oh my gosh. You know, I've reached that goal. That feels like this is continually offering me a level of success. And the goals keep changing in that regard. You know, it's how to grow them and how will they fit into my framework. But then thinking beyond that, thinking bigger. And as I'm growing with my business, I have to challenge myself that way and think bigger for myself. Because I can see I can do it. You know, I just don't always know how to do it. And so that's where that success may take a little bit longer than that first one, that first sale on the first day. It's like, uh-oh, now I really have to come up with something else here. But goals, daily, monthly, quarterly, continually changing those so that I can push myself. That's how I measure my success. And it's different all the time. And I think that works. You know, I don't let something go until I achieve it. It's always there. And I'm thinking how I can work towards it. Pushing myself in that way helps me push to continue to grow.
That makes sense. Ever-changing goals and adjusting from previous goals or after you've achieved something. Do you have a favorite business book or best business advice given to you? An inspirational quote, something like that that's your favorite?
You know, it's going to sound, again, really simplistic, but the push that I got from a friend of mine was as simple as try it, see what happens. And I
like it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my gosh, what do I have to lose? And honestly, that's how I've taken almost every single hurdle, challenge, step forward in my business. Try it and see what happens. And if it doesn't work out, I mean, and that's simple for each listing or a new product line. I've tried a few things and they've not sold. And it's like, okay, well, I can let this go. You have to try it. And if you don't know unless you do. And I think that that is what continues to motivate me. It continues to keep me going. And I will say to myself when I'm all in my head thinking, is this a good idea? Should I go that way? Should I go that way? Just try it. You know, well, I mean, at most it's 20 cents I'm risking, you know, as far as a listing goes, or, you know, in that regard from a financial aspect, or maybe it's a half a day's time getting all whatever the new product is together. But honestly, from the very beginning, and was even mimicked when I've gone to a few different seminars, motivational things that I've heard, books that I've read, just try it. You have to put yourself out there because you're never going to know unless you do.
Very good.
That's so true. Great advice. So to wrap things up, and I feel like we've gotten to know you so well through this interview, Carrie. It's been so fun. But do you have a particular funny mommy moment or something really cute your kids are up to these days that you can share?
Oh, my gosh. Well, my little one, she constantly stuns me with how she looks at the world and how she has an interesting perspective on life, and she talks a lot. We talk a lot. We all do. We're a very chatty family. So if we've gone too long on this, I'm sorry. it's just part of who I am. But she will constantly ask questions, and our little walks down to the post office every day. It's a big moment for her. And like yesterday, she's asking me, so we're all here and I get that, but like, how did we get here? she's asking about evolution, isn't she? Oh my gosh. Okay. So, you know, I gave her the Big Bang Theory. We talked about Adam and Eve. she does that to me constantly. And then it's as simple as this morning, it was raining and she looked out the window and she was singing Rain, Rain, Go Away, Come Again Another Day, and just singing it like 7 times in a row. And then she looks out the window and she goes, darn it, that always works for Dora. I love the way her brain thinks. It's always, she just cracks me up all the time. And but she is the one, honestly, that from a business perspective, this is kind of funny. She's the one that decided that people needed to be in my photos as well. Because before then, it was just a napkin on a plate and a fork and a knife. And people were constantly writing to me asking, oh, where's your table from? Where's your silverware from? And that was nice. But one day I'm set up and I'm taking tons of shots and she jumps up on the chair and grabs the fork and the spoon and puts it up in her face. And it was literally as I was taking a picture, and I didn't set up the picture with her. And that photo has now been on the front page of Etsy. I don't even know how many times. She just decided it's time, mommy, that we need to be in here. And she was right. She was absolutely right. It made it more personal and approachable. So I love the way she thinks, and I love the impact she's made on my business in so many different ways. All three of them, actually. It all ties together all the time.
It sounds like you have a budding entrepreneur on your hands for sure.
Something. It's true. We'll see what comes of it. She actually made me when I was out in Chicago with the Etsy admins. She was like, mommy, did you ask them yet if I can start a shop? And I'm like, you're
cool.
She said, but you can ask them. And so I did. And the answer is, actually, you can have a shop under the age of 18, but there's just certain rules that they can't be a part of the community. They can't post anything in the community forums and things like that. But they can sell their products. You just have to, you know, register that you will be helping them. And so with that motivation, she could be a shop owner any one of these days.
Wow.
I think it's great, though, that she is clearly sees you as such a role model for herself as far as what she can do for herself business-wise and in life. And that's wonderful that a mom can be such a great role model in business as well as in personal life.
It's exciting. And it's one of those things that I think having an online opportunity to run a business has provided that, again, when I got encouraged to go for this opportunity, it wasn't something I set in front of me to say, okay, my goal is to help show my children that they can be whatever they want to be in life. And it's exciting to watch how they get inspired by my motivation and my commitment and my drive that I show them every day, and they get to see that. So when it comes to going down, you know, a new adventure for them, wanting to take piano lessons or something like that, you know, they know that it takes commitment. They watch me, you know, build something from what I have, and it encourages them to do the same. It's great. I mean, you know, so many people don't have this opportunity to work from home. And I feel very, very lucky and fortunate that I can make this work with them. And then on top of it, what it's helping to provide them for their own lives is really exciting.
I love it. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today, Carrie. I feel like we've learned so much. Our listeners are going to learn so much. And I hope that someone out there listening will hear your advice on just try it and see what happens. And maybe we'll see some new Etsy shops as a result of that.
Me too. Thank you. This has been really exciting. I love to talk, and I'm very proud of what I've built, and it was really exciting to be asked. So I appreciate that a lot.
So Carrie, go ahead and just tell people exactly how they can find you on Etsy or on Facebook or whatever, the best ways to get in touch with you.
The best ways to find me are, you can find me at www.izzyandolly.etsy.com, or you can find me at www.izzyandolly.com. I'm also found on Facebook at izzyandolly.com and Pinterest as well at izzyandolly. Just as long as you know how to spell it, IZZYANDOLY, you can find me just about anywhere.
I really enjoyed that conversation with Carrie today. I hope you did too. Head on over to brilliantbusinessmoms.com/9 for the show notes and resources mentioned in this episode.
And don't forget to let us know how we're doing. We'd love it if you'd head over to the ratings and reviews tab and leave us a note. Tell us what you love, tell us what you didn't like, and if you have any suggestions for us, we'd love to hear about it. That wraps up today's show. Now it's your turn to head out there and be brilliant.